Hi, everyone. So today is the death anniversary of Rabbi Chaim ben Attal, and I'd like to share a story. So the story happened when Rabbi Chaim Or HaChaim, we call him Or HaChaim, the light of life, he was in Jerusalem, in Israel, and it was under the control of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. And in Istanbul, in Turkey, there was a new sultan that rose to the throne during Or HaChaim's life. And this sultan was Mahmud I. And he was the one who inherited the throne in 1730, but he spent his first years of ruling taking care of enemy forces and, you know, within and without. And so in the biography of Or HaChaim, he describes the sultan as being a strong ruler. Under his hand, the empire flourished. He was a very strong and good ruler. And it also describes him as being an intellectual who excelled at a lot of different subjects. He understood astrology, and he was very good with math. He had a lot of math skills. And what happened was, in those days, they used to take the sultans and they put them in something called a cage. And what was the cage? It was an enclosed area where basically it was like a harem, and they were under surveillance by the palace guards, meaning the sultans were sort of imprisoned, and they used it as a place for the potentials for the throne to be there. So if it was their brothers, their half-brothers, they used to keep them there so that they wouldn't take over the throne. And so despite the limitations, Mahmud I used his life in this harem to his advantage. So what was this harem? What was this cage? It was a place where if anybody would be someone who would take over the throne or a predecessor, rather than getting rid of them or executing them, they would put them there so that they would be able to guard them, make sure that they wouldn't be executed by these people. They wouldn't be able to take over the government. So he lived in this place, but he took it to his advantage. He was also hunchbacked. So he grew up under the influence of his grandmother, and he studied with private tutors, and they taught him all kinds of subjects. They taught him literature and history and poetry and music, and he played chess. And it says about Mahmud I that he was a very good leader, who came to the throne during a very tumultuous time, and he succeeded in restoring order and being a very strong hand, and he always ruled according to what was good for the people. It was something that didn't usually happen. Most of the other sultans just ruled in what was good for them, but he wanted to make sure that he was taking care of the people. And this story that I'm about to tell you takes place during this time, and it's from Or HaChaim. And it says that Mahmud was in his mid-40s, and he had a question that was bothering him a lot. He wanted to know, astrologically, if there was anybody who was born the same day and the same time as him. And he was very determined to discover the answer. He wanted to find out if there was anybody in the world who was born exactly at the same time, the same day, with the same stars in the sky. And he finally found it. And to his surprise, the sultan discovered that the person who was born at the same time, the same day as him, was a Jewish rabbi living in Jerusalem. And so he was very intrigued. He was very interested to find out who this twin was. And so the sultan told his staff that he was going to leave the palace for a little bit, and the grand imam was going to take his place. And he wanted to make sure that he disguised himself so that he could walk around in the cities and nobody would know who he was, because he wanted to make sure that he could find out who this person was. So he got dressed as a regular citizen, and the only thing that would show that he was actually the sultan was his gun that had jewels on it. But he didn't tell anybody where he was going. He goes to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, of course, all the Jews are very surprised by this hunchback stranger who insists on seeing Rabbi Chaim ben Attal, who insists on seeing Or HaChaim. based on how the Jews were reacting to the Sultan, the Sultan was sure that the Or Chaim was a very high person with many, armies and guards, and he didn't understand how, when the Jews took him to Or Chaim's tiny home, which was located on the edge of a little courtyard, where there were a lot of Jewish families living there, he didn't understand how he could live there. And so the Or Chaim's wife, his holy wife, answers the door and kindly tells the stranger that her husband is still learning Torah with his students, but if the stranger doesn't mind, he could wait until noon and his husband would come home and he could talk to him. So the Sultan seats himself on this low rock, on this low wall surrounding the courtyard, and he's very amused with the fact that he, this great Sultan, is sitting on a rock waiting for a rabbi. But he also wonders how a person who shared his successful luck, his successful mazal, could be so disadvantaged and so poor. How is that possible? But when a group of Jews approached around noontime, the Sultan immediately identified who Or Chaim was, who his twin mazal was. He could tell by his tall stature, by his eyes, and he saw a holy light emanating from Or Chaim's face. And as the group neared the stranger, who looked like a simple Arab hunchback, the Or Chaim stopped before the stranger and suddenly made a special blessing. And it's the blessing that's made over a holy person. He said to him, "Peace upon you, your highness, my king, and welcome to my home." The Sultan was dumbstruck. He was shocked. How did the Or Chaim know? Because the Sultan hadn't told anybody. So when the Sultan recovered enough to ask Or Chaim how he knew, Or Chaim said, "Please understand, your majesty, that every king has an angelic representative in heaven who escorts the king wherever he goes. When I saw the impressive angel standing by your side, I realized you must be a king." Then the Or Chaim explained that he also made a blessing upon seeing the king and what that meant. Now the Sultan started to understand that his twin mazal, his twin mate, was very special. But still, being poor didn't make sense to the Sultan. How could he be poor? And he said to him, "I don't understand. How are you able to live in such ruins? You must be longing for the day when you'll be able to get a very rich, luxurious home and really have benefits of a man like you that deserves it." "No, no," says Or Chaim. "I'm happy with my lot, and I'm grateful to the Creator for all the kindness he bestows upon me every day. I have more than I deserve." The Sultan glanced at the poor meal waiting for him at the table. He saw that there wasn't a lot of food there. And despite the Sultan's way of usually eating feasts with royal foods, he found this simple food to be so delicious. And even though he was very hungry, he also found that this little amount of food was enough for him. So after the Sultan finished his meal, and surprisingly satiated, and it was so tasty, the Or Chaim turns to him and respectfully inquires to him, "Why are you here? Why did you come?" And the Sultan describes his curiosity to discover his twin, his Ben Mazal, and he ended by expressing how, even though it seemed that Or Chaim was so poor and that he was living in ruins and that he was expecting him to live in riches and honor, he says to him, "Yet you are here, living in intolerable conditions." The Or Chaim smiled at him and explained that, on the contrary, he felt rich and happier than all the other wealthy people across the globe. And he described the life of stress and hassle suffered by many people who are successful because they're successful in material, including rulers and princes, and they can't even enjoy their luxuries some of the time because they're under so much stress and anxiety. The Or Chaim continued to really list all the problems that wealthy rulers suffer. if it's war, if it's economy, if it's, you know, excruciating decisions, it's all these things. It could even be that at this very moment, someone from your closest ministers might be planning to betray you or incite the nation against you. This is what Ruchaim is telling the Sultan. The Sultan opened his mouth. He was about to contradict Ruchaim, but then he remembered the excessive delight of some of the ministers when he told them that he was about to leave the throne. And instead, he sighed. He realized that he has new concerns now in his mind. And he says, how I wish I could know what was happening in my palace. Ruchaim says, you know, you can. He gives the Sultan a mirror. And while the Sultan is looking in the mirror, he cries out, wonder of wonders, here's Turkey, the center of my kingdom. And he's looking in the mirror and he's seeing Turkey. And Ruchaim says, gaze deeply into the mirror. You'll be able to see whatever you desire. Now the Sultan saw Istanbul and then his palace. Would you like to see what's happening now in your private quarters? Asked Ruchaim. I certainly would, said the Sultan. And as he continued to gaze, he spotted his grand imam sitting with his people, his grand people, and plotting how to overthrow the Sultan. Now he's in shock. He doesn't know what to do. He says, what can I do? What am I going to do now? How am I going to save my kingdom? Ruchaim says, do you have any weapons with you? Immediately, the Sultan drew out his gun that was full of jewels. Ruchaim says, do not wait another moment. Take aim, but be careful not to miss. The Sultan cocks his gun and aims at the image of the Grand Imam in the mirror. He fires. The mirror explodes into pieces. Yet in that split second before it shattered, the Sultan managed to see the Grand Imam fall to the floor, lifeless. At that point, the Ruchaim mentioned the obvious, that the court was in uproar right now. Then the Ruchaim explained that when the Sultan would return, he'd be greeted by his faithful ministers, who would then tell him that the Grand Imam was murdered by the Jews. But you know the truth, said the Holy Tzaddik, said Ruchaim. Nonetheless, do not reveal what really happened. Instead, please keep postponing the judgment against the Jews. After a month, invite all your ministers and servants to a feast. And then I will appear and reveal the truth before the eyes of the entire nation. And to make, of course, a long story a bit shorter, many people signed a document claiming they personally saw the Jew murder the Grand Imam. The Jews murder the Grand Imam. This showed the Sultan who was really untrustworthy. And in this way, the Ruchaim ensured the continued reign of a friendly and decent ruler who, while doing so, was also ensuring the protection of the Jewish community. Thank you.